Hello and welcome to the Orwell Astronomical Society podcast for December 2011. December sees the shortest day on the winter solstice at 5:30 in the morning on the 22nd. Thereafter the sun starts moving slowly north again and the days start drawing out. The moon waxes or gets bigger from the start of the month until it becomes full on the 10th, and there will be a new moon on Christmas Eve. The full moon on the 10th will see a lunar total eclipse, when the Earth gets between the Sun and the Moon, with the Earth's shadow casting across the lunar surface, and unfortunately, as the Moon doesn't rise here until 1552 that day, only the very end of the eclipse will be visible. Be quick, as you will only have 26 minutes before it's all over. Look to the northeast. Now to the planets visible this month. Mercury is a morning object around the middle of the month, immediately before sunrise. As always, be very careful if you use binoculars to look for it, in case the sun catches you unawares. Venus will become a very obvious object in the evening, towards the end of the month. It will be the very bright object visible just after sunset in the west. Mars is getting better to view, particularly in the hours before sunrise, but it will get much better next year. Jupiter is still magnificent to look at in the evening. Again, an obvious bright object, reasonably high in the sky. Binoculars on a tripod will give great views of the four Galilean moons and possibly some stripes on the planet itself. And we have had some wonderful views of Jupiter over the last month or so at the observatory. Saturn is about in the morning sky, but just like Mars, it will get much better to see next year. Right, now onto something else to look out for, meteor showers. December has one of the best meteor showers of the year, the Geminids. These are at their most active on the 12th of December, when you could expect around 100 meteors, or shooting stars, per hour. Unfortunately, the moon is around full, and so is a source of natural light pollution, preventing us seeing many of these flashes across the sky. Next year, they should be much more spectacular. On Christmas Eve, there is another meteor shower expected, the lesser-known Ursids. And these are less active than the Geminids, but as there is no moon, what there is should be well seen. Expect around 10 per hour. Meteors, or shooting stars, are simply pieces of rock, usually the size of a grain of sand, that race into the Earth's atmosphere and burn up, leaving a bright trail, some very fast and others quite slow. To look out for these meteors, find a nice dark location, and most importantly, wrap up warm, and take a deck chair, and settle down and relax and hopefully watch the show. Now on to constellation watching. The star this month is most definitely Orion. Most people will recognise this pattern of stars rising in the southeast at the beginning of the month, rising earlier each day. As you look at Orion, you'll see the bright Betelgeuse, or Betelgeuse, at the upper left-hand side. This is a very large red star that is about to go bang, having reached the end of its current stage of life. Right, now look further down and find Orion's belt, the three stars in the middle. Underneath the belt, you'll see a fuzzy object. This is a stellar birthing ground in the Great Orion Nebula. You will see a fuzzy area, but with binoculars you will see some stars, newly born, with gas still surrounding them. Right, now look to the upper right of Orion. Here is Taurus the Bull. The red star, Aldebaran, the Eye of the Bull, and if you look a little further away from Orion, you'll see a fuzzy object again. They're all fuzzy objects, aren't they? This time the Pleiades, or the Seven Sisters. And this is another of those stellar birthing grounds. You should be able to see around seven big, bright, blue, new stars, which are only a million years or so old, with the gas still surrounding them. And this is one of those eyesight tests. How many stars can you see with the naked eye? Right, back to Orion, and now look to the upper left, and you will see two quite bright stars. These are the twins Castor and Pollux, the brightest stars of Gemini. And incidentally, the Geminid meteors I mentioned earlier will appear to stream from around this point. Finally, look to the bottom left of Orion, better later in the month, and you will see a very bright star, and this is Sirius, the dog star. This is the brightest star in the night sky. I hope that this podcast has given you some ideas of what to look at over this month. There is plenty more to see up there, and I recommend that you look on the internet, astronomy magazines, or in an astronomy book for a sky map to show you what else is out there and where to look for it. Listen out next month for January's highlights. Bye for now.